Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Well, Addison just shared with you this Friday is two Christmas Eve services. Come, it is by far one of my favorite services of the year. And so every week, the last few weeks, we've been giving you a taste of what you're going to hear. And we're going to continue that today as Travis sings us a portion of the special that will be going on this week.
Christ the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Travis. So come this Friday, celebrate Christmas Eve with us. It's going to be fantastic. Well, today I'm giving you installment number 3 in our Christmas series called Christmas Miracles. And I know you've all put this together by now, but these ornaments on the back wall of our church kind of give you a little bit of an indication of what we're studying, what we're learning this year about Christmas. There's last week, I know Pastor Dave did a great job of preaching to us that Jesus is Emmanuel. He's God with us. In the first week, I preached about the fact that God loves us, that all of us who are outsiders can become insiders. We have an inside track with God. And then this morning, I want to talk to you about the fact that Christmas reminds us that Jesus is God Almighty, which means this: nothing is impossible to Him. And then next Sunday, the day after Christmas, we're going to finish up this series about the way that God guides us. And I believe God's going to guide us in some new things in 2022. So we're going to talk about that next Sunday. But today, if you've got your Bibles, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 1, part of the Christmas story from Luke's gospel. The reason we've titled this series Christmas Miracles is because it's impossible to celebrate Christmas without realizing that we serve a God of miracles. Christmas itself is a miracle. Jesus was not just born uniquely, He was born miraculously. He didn't just enter our world a little bit differently than other people. He entered the world through a miracle. And the way He entered the world is the way He lived in this world. He lived miraculously. He did them miraculously. And then when He died, He rose on the third day miraculously again. We serve a God. Jesus is the God of miracles. Which means nothing is impossible with Him. Luke chapter 1 says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Do not be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the baby to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. The people used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her 6 months. For the word of God will never fail." Can we just all read verse number 37 together this morning with a little bit of passion? How about that? On your mark, get set, go. "For the word of God will never fail." Let's read it again. "For the word of God will never fail." And Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true." And the angel left. Father, I thank you for every person in the room today. I thank you for those who are watching online this morning or listening to a podcast weeks or months from now. I'm thankful that the Word of God always works. But Lord, we also pray that the Spirit of God will work it. The Spirit of God will work in us today. Help me to speak what you want spoken. Beyond my ability this morning, give me the words to speak. And also, Lord, we need your help to hear what the Holy Spirit would want to say to us personally, and to us as a church. And we commit ourselves to responding accordingly to what you say. Everybody in the room said amen. You know, Jesus came to earth differently. That's an understatement. He came to earth differently than most people would have predicted. He came much more humbly. He came to, it wasn't the house of rulers. It wasn't the house of riches. It wasn't the house of the most famous. It wasn't the house that most people expected him to be. As a matter of fact, many people walked by. We're going to talk about next week how the wise men walked hundreds and hundreds of miles to see Jesus while people down the street were walking by. Why did they just walk by? Because they were familiar with it. There was nothing extraordinary, humanly speaking, about the first Christmas morning. But in the middle of what seemed like ordinary, God did something extraordinary. Jesus was born of a virgin. And I want to take just a moment. This isn't really a big part of my message, but I want to take just a moment. You may be sitting here, and maybe you've read that part, that Jesus was born of a virgin hundreds of times. You never really thought, why is that such a big deal? And I'll tell you why it's a big deal. It's not that God showed up, or that God was showing out by making Jesus born of a virgin. He wasn't showing out. In actuality, he was actually showing up in the way that he promised his son would appear. And just the fact that Jesus was born of a virgin is not just a miraculous thing. We talked about the first week that every miracle in the Word of God, most miracles have a message behind the miracle. The virgin birth definitely has a miracle message tied to it. Here's the first miracle message about the virgin birth is this, that Jesus is not of this world. We sing, we say that Jesus was born on Christmas morning, and that is true. But how many understand that Jesus did not begin on Christmas morning? Jesus is older than the celebration of Christmas. John chapter 1 says this, in the beginning, referring to Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John chapter 1 also says that, in verse number 14, that the Word, right, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. What was John saying? John is recalling us to the fact that Jesus, though he was born on Christmas, he existed far before the first Christmas. Amen? He's not of this world. The Son of God became the Son of Mary. The Creator put on humanity, but Christmas was not the beginning. He was before Christmas. Number two, the virgin birth reminds us that Jesus had a sinless nature. Jesus was born into sin, but he was not born of sin. It seems like if you want to do a little bit of a Bible study, you could argue that the sin of humanity gets passed down through the seed of men. That when the conception happens, the sin nature of humanity is passed on through the man's seed. And so when God pronounces to the world that Jesus is going to be born of a virgin, that lets us know that he's not just born miraculously, but he's born in a different way than you and I are born. Jesus does not have a sin nature. Just as Adam was created pure without sin in any way, but then he chose to deny the Father, he failed to obey the Word of God. Jesus was born, the Bible calls him the second Adam multiple times. He was born without that sin nature, and he chose to honor his Father at every time, so that here's the next thing, is that he became the only one in history ever qualified to be able to take care of our sins. The Bible says the one who knew no sin, had no sin, became sin for us. And then it describes the way he operated. He was born miraculously, he lived miraculously, he died sacrificially, and then he rose miraculously again on the third day. Everything about Jesus is miraculous. And I know some of you, when you hear the Christmas story, there's a lot of our world today, they sing the Christmas songs, but when they hear about the virgin birth, they just kind of glaze over that part. They just think, well, that's myth, that's legend, that's tradition, that's just something we say, but no one really believes it. But friends, I want to tell you that we serve a miracle-working God, that nothing is impossible with him. Josh McDowell said something along these lines. He said, if a person can accept the fact that God can do what men deem as impossible, then the virgin birth is really not that much of a stretch for our faith. Isaiah chapter 9 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and we'll call his name Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." I just want to go back to that one part. He said he's going to be known as what? The Mighty God. He's the Almighty God. He's the God that can do anything, any day of the week that he wants to. So how can we be people that receive the impossibility, the miracle-working God in our life? Because I feel like that many of us, we just deem the impossible impossible. We deem that the miraculous is for someone else, somewhere else. When I believe Christmas reminds us that the impossibilities of God are the impossible things that we call impossible that God can do. It's not just reserved for other people at other places at other times, but it also means for you. It's for me. And so how can we embrace the possibilities, the miraculous possibilities that God offers us through Christmas? I want to give you a few ways we can do that. Number one, it takes us realizing that you, if you're sitting next to somebody, just go and nudge them and say, he's talking about you. You are favored by God. Gabriel appeared to Mary and he said, "Greetings, favored woman." You know, if you go back and look at Mary, there's nothing about her life that seems favored. She's probably 16 years old. She's got all the dreams of a 16-year-old girl. She's got all the problems of a 16-year-old girl. I don't know what those problems are, but she's got them. She's just ordinary. She's nothing. There's nothing miraculous about her. She's just a person that sure, she's trying to honor God, but there, if you look up the word normal in the dictionary, you might see her picture. Everything about her life is ordinary, but God shows up and says, "Mary, you are favored of God." Some of you walked in this church building this morning and you think it's a normal Christmas season. You think you're a normal human being. You think you're just ordinary, nothing special about you. And friends, that is a lie from the pits of hell. You are favored by God this morning. You're a child of the King. You're favored upon him. And I love what the angel said to the shepherds. We talked about a few weeks ago. He says, "Peace on men to whom his favor rests." Let me tell you something about the favor of God. It doesn't come and go. It comes and stays. Some of you have mistakenly believed that some parts of your life have been favored by God and other parts of your life have not been favored by God. Some of you, like me, you have judged the favor of God upon your life by the circumstances that you're going through. But friends, can I tell you, even in the bad circumstances of our life, that our lives are still favored by God, even when we don't feel it. Mary, there is nothing about Mary's first 16 years of her life that says you're favored by God. You might even say there's nothing about the next 9 months of her life that seems favored by God. Being pregnant without a husband, especially in that culture, that doesn't shout favor. But she's still favored. If we were having life groups tonight, I would be asking this question on the handout. Is it possible to be soaked with the favor of God and not realize it? Is it? Is it possible that your life is saturated with the favor of God and you not even know it? The answer is yes. And yet some of you walked in today, and if I were to have asked you at 9:45 today, is your life favored of God? Some of you might have said, "Oh, I don't feel like it. I don't think so. I'm not aware of it. I'm not real sure." But friends, I want to tell you, if you're a Christ follower today, the favor of God is not something that comes and goes. It's something that comes and stays upon you. And I want to challenge us. Let's be people that take advantage of the favor of God. She was ordinary but favored. Do you know what favor means? Favor means unfair partiality. It's kind of like a teacher that grades on a curve. Do you students know what it means to get graded on a curve? Do they do that in high school? They do that? I had never, you don't know what it means, so I can just talk to you. Thank you. Because if everyone knew what it meant, I would just have to be quiet right here. But thank you for rescuing me. So this didn't happen until I was in college. In college, I had a professor that graded on a curve. And he announced that he graded on the curve on the very first day of school. And what that means is if the best test score in the room was an 85, he would add 15 points to that person's score, so they made 100. And then everyone else in the class also got 15 points added to their grade. And immediately I thought, so that means I can make a 70 and still get out of here with a B. I mean, this is not, you know, my scholastic career wasn't always what it should be. You know, I told someone recently that a D stands for something, right? D equals diploma. That's what D means. So I was ecstatic that I might get a grade better than I deserve. Some of you are going to go home and say, listen, son, daughter, don't listen to what that preacher said about, you can ignore that part. But let's just be honest. None of us, how many in this room are glad that you get graded by not what you deserve? Amen? When God looks, that's what favor is. God doesn't treat you like you deserve. He treats you like Jesus deserved, which, by the way, is a lifetime of difference than what you and I deserve. The one who knew no sin became sin for us. That's the favor of God. He's moved our scores up this morning. The appearance of Jesus is the announcement of God's favor upon humanity. And he's favored us with the opportunity to know God. He's favored us with the opportunity to know that God loves us. He cares for us. He's concerned for you. He forgives us of our sins. He cleanses us from our past. He gives us a purpose. Ephesians chapter 2 reminds us of God's favor. It says, it's by grace you've been saved, not the works of your own doing. The favor of God, if I can finish up this discussion about favor, it's this way. The favor of God is factual, not about feelings. Mary never felt favored as far as we know, but the favor of God was upon her. And I want to tell you something today, some of you in this room, you've been honoring God, you've been following God, and you've been thinking, Pastor, my life doesn't feel very favorable right now. I would say this to you, keep honoring God, keep serving God, keep being faithful to God, because at some point, I don't know when, I don't know how, but the favor of God will overtake you, it will overwhelm you, it will become apparent to you that He's favored you. And in seasons of life, you didn't know you were favored. But number two, you have to also not just realize you've been favored, you have to trust God with the how-tos of life. Have you ever asked God, how are you going to do this? God, how are you going to see me through this season? God, how am I going to get over this loss? God, how am I going to get over this struggle? God, how will I get over this hurt? God, how am I going to accomplish what you put in my life to accomplish? Mary heard the angel say, you're going to give birth to a son. He will save people from their sins. She heard all that. And then she asked this question, but how? But how? I'm a virgin. Isn't it amazing that what Mary thought was a limitation was actually the qualification God was looking for? Isn't it amazing how that works? Many times God will tell us the what, and He tells us the why. He tells us what we're supposed to do. He tells us why we're supposed to do it. And then we're left asking God, well, how are we supposed to do it? But the angel, you know, here's what I've discovered. Mary asked how, and the angel answered her, and the answer didn't really help. Some of you have been wondering. Some of you have even been praying, God, if you would just explain to me what, why, or how. If you would just explain one of those things to me, then I would be good. No, you wouldn't. The angel told Mary how. Right? the shadow of the Almighty will be upon you. Right? You'll be overshadowed by the... Mary knew just enough about how anatomy and reproduction works to know that that is not a good answer. I mean, how many of you in this room are biologists that you're satisfied with the answer that the angel gave Mary? Oh, this is how you're going to conceive as you're a virgin. Okay. No, the how doesn't answer. But many of us in this room, we've gotten to this dangerous spot that we feel like in order for me to trust God, I have to understand how God is going to work. Which, by the way, is a little bit ridiculous. Trusting and understanding very rarely go together. As a matter of fact, we often don't trust until we don't understand. See, I go to the doctor because I don't understand everything about the human body. I took biology, chemistry, anatomy. I took all that stuff in college, but I don't understand everything. So when I go to the doctor, I listen to what he says because he understands things that I don't understand. I go to a lawyer and I tell him my issues because I don't understand everything there is I know about the law. There's things I don't know, so I trust him in the areas I don't understand. I go to a mechanic because I don't understand everything that goes on under the hood of my truck. Last year we bought a hybrid and I really didn't understand everything that went on. So I took it. When something happened, I called somebody who knew more than I knew, and I trusted them. When I get on an airplane, I don't go sit down in the cockpit. I don't even think about it. I go to the passenger section because I'm gonna trust someone else to sit in that chair and handle that thing because I'm just convinced that what I learned on Nintendo isn't equipping me to fly that airplane. I'm just saying, I don't trust these people because I understand things. I trust these people because I don't understand things. And some of you are sitting in your seat this morning and you're thinking, when I understand God, then I'll trust God. And friends, you're going to spend the rest of your life either not understanding God or not trusting God or maybe both. So Christmas is a time to, like Mary, say, God, I'm going to trust you even though I don't understand you. Well, Greg, how can I trust God when I don't understand him? Here's a few ways. Number one, remember his heart towards you. Can I tell you this morning, you've never been loved by anyone on planet Earth the way God loves you. You can trust him because he loves you. By the way, the person you're praying for and the person you're grieving over this morning who's in need, in dire straits today, no one has loved them as much as God loves them either. You can trust them because you know their heart, God's heart towards them. You can trust God even when you don't understand it because of his care in your life. You ever look back in your life? How many of you can just look back in your life and say, you know, there's a time that God got me through that I don't really know how I got it through except for God got me through it. Amen? And can I tell you, the God that's been faithful before can be faithful again. He will be faithful again if you trust him. I've discovered this. The battle I'm facing today always requires more faith and trust than the battle I fought yesterday. Always. And so when I begin to have this notion to trust God with something today, I look back to how God was faithful yesterday, and I think, well, yeah, God, you were faithful then, but this is bigger than that was. But can I tell you, God is still bigger than what today's battles are as well. He's faithful. He loves you. And then the last thing is remember God's promises towards you. Eventually, Mary just had to say, Lord, be it unto me as you've spoken. She just chose to believe the word of God over what she saw. And she, here's point three this morning, she confessed that what I'm looking at today is possible with God. And if we're going to welcome the miraculous of God into our life this season, we have to confess that nothing is impossible with God. You know, I'm pretty good at pointing out what is impossible. I'm pretty good at seeing situations, whether it's financial or relational, and just seeing things and saying, that's not going to work? Any of you just feel like you got a skill set of looking at things and saying, that's not going to work? I mean, once upon a time, I thought that was a skill set. It's really not. It's just kind of common sense. That's not going to work. And I've discussed, but you know, there's been a lot of people who have done things that once were labeled impossible. There's a guy, I'm gonna butcher his name, Igor Sosnowski. I don't think he's from Cabot. He's from somewhere else. He built the very first helicopter. People told him it was impossible. And then eventually after coming to the U.S. to build a factory, he built this sign and put it over his factory door. I'll put a little bit on the screen for you. He says, according to aerotechnical task, the bumblebee cannot fly because of the shape and the weight of his body in relation to the total wing area. He goes on to say, the bumblebee doesn't know this, so he goes ahead and flies anyway. He goes on to write, you see, the word impossible doesn't affect us much when it hasn't been spoken over our life. And to someone who have heard this formidable word, impossible, to the go-getters, it still means absolutely nothing today. You know, that's a great example of how human intellectualism, how human determination, how human fortitude is just to grab a dream and go after it, how we can make things that seem impossible possible. But friends, I'm talking to you this morning not about the power of humanity, because the power of humanity at some point will reach an impossibility. It will reach a limitation. But with God, though the angels doesn't say, is that you're going to do more than any person on earth has done. No, he says to her, anything, everything is possible with God. So we got to confess that nothing is possible with God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, speaking to his disciples, he made this statement. He says, humanly speaking, it's impossible. With God, everything is impossible. Genesis chapter 18, the question was asked, is anything too difficult for the Lord? In Job chapter 42, Job announces, I know that you can do anything, and that no one can stop you, God. Christmas reminds us that God keeps his word and that nothing is impossible to him. Let me ask you today, are you in an impossible situation? Maybe this Christmas season finds you hurting instead of healed. Maybe it finds you at a loss instead of with family. Maybe it finds you lonely instead of comforted. Maybe you have lack instead of plenty. But can I tell you that Jesus can change that? Nothing is impossible with him. And I would just challenge you to invite Jesus into your impossibility. And Megan, if you want to come forth this morning, I'll close with this. Yield to the will of God. How do we welcome the power of God? Is you have to yield to the will of God. Mary responded with these words, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true. She still doesn't understand it. She still doesn't look favored on the outside. She still hasn't had anything physically change as far as she knows in the moment. But she says anyway, Lord, let it be just as you've said. She was basically saying in that moment this statement, Lord, I am your vessel to accomplish your will. You know what we call that word? We call it submission. Mary submitted herself to Jesus. She submitted herself to the will of God. She said, whatever God you say is what I want. You know, 30 years later, when Jesus gets ready to do his very first miracle, it was Mary that spoke to the servants at that wedding feast that day and said, you know what, whatever he says, just do it. Just submit yourselves to whatever he says. Do you know what it really means to live for Jesus in 2021? Whatever he says, do it. Whatever he says, do it. Well, Pastor, I don't understand it. Great. Do it. Do it anyway. I don't understand how. See, God uses ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things, and He can use you. And He does it as we hear the Word of God. We believe the Word of God is true. We believe the Word of God is possible, even though we don't know how. And then we continue to say, now, Lord, use me however you want to in this process. Miracles happen when we submit ourselves to His will instead of our will. So I want you to bow your heads with me today. I want to pray two ways today. First off, I want to pray if you're away from God today, the miracle that Christmas makes happen, the most important miracle is what we talked about the first week. Those of us who are outsiders can become insiders. Those who are far from God can be made near to God because of Jesus. He came. He came to save people from their sins. And today, if you're far from God and you know it, maybe you didn't know it when you walked in here, but just the heartbeat of God has been speaking to your heart this morning, saying, listen, you're far from me, and I want you to be near to me. Today, I'd love to cover you in a prayer and lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to embarrass you, single you out, have you stand up, anything like that. I just want to know to pray for you this morning. If we just lift a hand real quick. Hey, Pastor, I'm away from God. Amen. Amen. Who else today? Amen. 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 About five hands. Who else today? Christmas means you don't have to live your life far from God. You can live your life near God. So I want to pray for these five or six people this morning that lifted their hands. Number one, I want you to know if you lifted your hand, God saw you and God sees you. He sees that you're responding to His voice. Not the voice of a preacher, the voice of God on your heart. And the Word says that if we will confess our sins, that He is faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from everything that is not right. So, Father, I just pray for every person this morning as they choose to invite You in. As they choose from this day forward to follow You. God, I pray that You will do that. Just forgive them of their sins. Eradicate their past. Take away the pain. Take away the shame. Take away the hurt. And God, give them today new, full life and eternal life. And God, from this moment on, they're gonna yield, just like Mary did. Mary said, whatever You say, Lord, that's what I'm going to do. Be it unto me. Lord, whatever You lead them to do through Your Word as they read the Bible. Whatever You say for them to do as You confirm that word by speaking to their heart, they're just going to do it. So, Lord, lead them from this moment through every moment of their life. Because we believe You are the Son of God. Jesus, we believe You are who You say You are. And so from this day forward, I pray they would follow You. In Jesus' name. If you said that prayer today for the first time and you're wondering, what now? I challenge you to stop by the Connect Center on the way out. We'd love to put a book in your hands to say, what now? But I also want to pray. Here's my second prayer. If you are facing an impossible situation, I want to pray for you. Father, I pray for those who are this Christmas season praying. They're facing a unique, impossible situation. Some of them have sicknesses in their family that seems impossible. Well, I pray the favor of God would just be revealed to them, even in the face of this impossibility. God, I pray the grace of God will strengthen them in the middle of this impossible situation. And that, God, You would do things in them and through them and with them in this season that they would have thought was impossible. But, God, You're working on their behalf. You're working in ways they can see. You're working in ways they can't see. So I pray You'll be with them. Strengthen them by Your might and by Your power. And God, whatever they're facing today, let the strength of Christ within them match that day. So God, I pray today You'll bless these people. God, I pray You'll bless them. You will keep them. You'll let your face shine upon them. Give them peace and joy and strength, both now and forever. In Jesus' name, Hey, before you go, Megan's going to come forward. If you would like to stay, Megan and I, we would love to just say a personal word of prayer with you. Travis is going to continue to just play a little bit. Feel free to be dismissed. But this Sunday, next Sunday, we're going to be closing out the same way. If you give us a few minutes of your time, we'd love to pray for you.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.